Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I'm about to tell you a very sad story. I'm going to make a really sad statement. I'm just one preparing you in advance. I know you're going to feel sorry for me whenever I tell you this. Okay, so I just want you to know, you can get out your hankies, that God did not make this body for athletics. I know that really surprises some of you. For others, you feel really sorry for me. But God did not make this body for athletics. And so I was usually one of the last ones chosen on the playground. Does anybody remember that whole choosing experience on the playground and what that was like? Garrison Keillor wrote about that process. Here's how he described it. The captains are down to their last grudging choices. A slow kid for the catcher. Someone to stick out in right field where nobody hits the ball. They choose the last ones two at a time. You and you. Because it really doesn't make any difference. And the remaining kids, they deal for as handicaps. Now, if you take him, then you got to also take him. Sometimes I'd go as high as fifth. Or usually lower, Garrison Keillor says, but just once, I'd like Daryl to pick me first and say, him, I want him, the skinny kid with the glasses and the black shoes, you, come on, you're on my team. But he says, I was never chosen with enthusiasm. That phrase, chosen with enthusiasm, some of you know what that feels like. Some of you wish you knew what that felt like. But I want you to know this morning that you have been chosen by the Lord. Not only have you been chosen by the Lord, but you have been chosen with enthusiasm. We're in a series that we are calling Richly Blessed in Christ, Richly Blessed. And we're blessed with many, many gifts in Christ. We're looking at those gifts from Ephesians chapter 1. And the first gift that we're going to see this morning is that we have been chosen. Let's continue to worship. Well, Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, we're going to be taking this out of just one verse, verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." The gift that we're going to be looking at, the gift that is yours in Jesus Christ this morning, is that you are chosen. You have been chosen. And there's a couple of things that I want us to think about as we get started with this concept of being chosen. Some things that I really want us to understand. Because there are some folks who think and who teach that being chosen means that before the beginning of time, God chose some people who were going to be in Christ and some people who were never going to be in Christ. That's one teaching when it comes to this biblical idea that we are chosen. That some folks are born and they are destined for eternal life, and some folks are born and they are destined for eternal death. Now, I don't hold to that idea of being chosen, and as we work through the passage, I'm going to share with you what I think the Lord is teaching us. But I don't want us to ever shy away from the idea, the biblical idea, that we who are in Christ have been chosen. The idea of being chosen goes all the way back to the very first book of the Bible. We go back to Genesis to see this concept that God chooses. He chose a man named Abraham. And he chose Abraham's family. And he chose the nation that came from Abraham and from his family. And he chose that nation for a very specific reason, for a very specific purpose. They were to be a nation chosen to be a blessing to the entire world. The choosing wasn't for them. The choosing was for the world, and so they were going to be a blessing to the whole world. Specifically, he told Abraham that his family would be blessed, that they would grow, that they would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands that are on the seashore, because out of this chosen nation, God had decided that he was going to bring the chosen one who would be the Savior of the entire world and who would bless the entire world. His name is Jesus. And since the beginning, since before creation, God has had this plan in place. Now, that's all the way back to Genesis. And that's God's plan and his idea of choosing and choosing Abraham and choosing the family and choosing the nation to bring Jesus into the world to be the Savior and to be the Redeemer. And now we get to Ephesians, and Paul's writing to a church of people who have believed in Jesus, who are in Christ. Some of those folks in that church were among the Jews who came from Abraham and were part of the chosen people. Some of those folks were what the Bible calls Gentiles. They were not part of that chosen nation, but they're all in the church together. People who were among the chosen, people who were not. And Paul wants them to know something very, very important. Paul wants them to know that in Christ, every single one of them was chosen. It didn't matter about their heritage. It didn't matter about their lineage. It didn't matter whose father they came from or what mother they came from. What mattered is that they were chosen in Jesus Christ. And that this was the fulfillment of the choosing that God did all the way back there with Abraham. But that even more than that, this is the fulfillment of what God has been doing and planning since before the creation of the world. So I want you to get that idea, that biblical background to the idea of being chosen. There's another thing I really want you to get as we look at this idea of being chosen. And that is that Paul's language about being chosen comes in the middle of worship. Here's what I mean by that. This one long sentence that makes up these first verses of Ephesians chapter 1. This long sentence where Paul just goes on and on and on in praise to God. Begins in verse 3, it ends in verse 14. He overflows with praise to God. He is singing a worship song to God. And so it's in this song of praise that he celebrates the fact that we are chosen in Christ. And so when we celebrate that, we are not proclaiming that he has chosen us and no one else. That's not what Christians do when they sing praise to God and celebrate the fact that we are chosen. It's not nanny, nanny, boo, boo. I'm chosen and not you. That's not the idea. The idea is that we praise God in worship because we are chosen in Christ. Thanksgiving because Jesus has done this for us. And there's another thing about this word chosen. Paul doesn't say that God chose us to be in Christ. Okay? What Paul says is that God chose us in Christ to be. And there's a difference. I want to say it again, and then I want to try to explain it. Paul doesn't say that God chose us to be in Christ. He said that God chose us in Christ to be. To be what? To be holy and to be blameless in his sight. That is the choosing. Is that God chooses that in Christ, all those who are there will be holy and blameless in his sight. And that's been true since before the creation of the world. And here is why that is significant. I don't believe that Paul is praising God because some are chosen and some are not. I believe that Paul is praising God because before the creation of the world, God chose that everyone who will put their faith in Jesus Christ, everyone who will be baptized into Jesus Christ, will be holy and blameless in the sight of God Almighty. Folks, that is an incredible gift. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God wants everyone to be chosen. God wants everyone to be among the chosen. Wouldn't it be sad If we had the idea that the only ones that God wanted to be chosen were the ones who were sitting in this room this morning, wouldn't it be sad that we had that idea? That's not at all the heart of God. The heart of God is that everyone would be chosen to be in Christ, holy and blameless in His sight. His desire is that everyone will come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3. His desire is that all people will be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. His desire is that everyone would be chosen in Christ to be holy and blameless in His sight. And I'll admit that on this side of eternity, this whole concept of being chosen is a little mysterious. It's a little confusing. There's a reason that some people have different teachings about this same biblical concept. Because the Scriptures strongly emphasize God's choice in our salvation. The Scriptures equally strongly emphasize our choice in our salvation. And both of those are true. God chooses us and we choose to be saved. And honestly, there is something of a mystery that will remain until we are on the other side of eternity. But one thing that we can say with confidence is that God chose us before we ever chose Him. God chose us before we ever chose Him. Our choice would not matter a hill of beans if God hadn't already done the choosing. Our acceptance of God's salvation is in response to His saving us. As John says in 1 John chapter 4, we love. Why? Because He first loved us. God takes the first step in all of this. God makes the first move. And Paul says God made that first move before the world was even created. And God continues to make moves in our life. He continues to move and be the first one to love us. He continues to move and draw us to Him. He continues to move so that we should all be on our knees thanking Him for making the first move and every move thereafter. Because we're chosen in Christ. So let's see why we're chosen. First of all, we are chosen in Christ not because we are good, but because He is. See, just like that kid on that playground who didn't get chosen, why didn't he get chosen? Because he wasn't any good. We choose because of goodness. That's the way we choose. We have lots of criteria, but God does not choose because He doesn't choose me because Ken's good. He doesn't choose any of you because you are good. God chooses us because He is good. And He's chosen you to be holy and blameless. You're chosen to be holy and blameless. See, I wasn't chosen because I had holiness. I wasn't chosen because I had figured out how to be blameless. No, I was chosen to be those things. Only God can make me those things. And this is so important because there are a lot of folks who are walking around thinking that God will never choose me. You interact with people every day who in their heart of hearts believe that God would never choose them. Because, and every one of them can fill in the blanks. God doesn't choose us because we're good. And see, those folks, it's the reason we've got to be disciples who are making disciples. Because those folks desperately need to hear that, oh yes, they have been chosen. And they have been chosen with enthusiasm. And they need to hear this good news about this good God who through this good Savior can make us good, holy and blameless in His sight. There's someone in this room who may need to hear that this morning. And there's someone watching who needs to hear that this morning. So we're chosen not because we're good, but because God is. Number two, we're chosen in Christ to be holy and set apart for a purpose. There's a lot wrapped up in being holy, but one part of being holy is that it means you're set apart. You're set apart for a purpose. And see, what that means is that God doesn't just save you from something. He does. He saves you from death. He saves you from sin. We could go on and on about what God saves you from, but that's not the end of the story. God doesn't just save you from something. God saves you for something, for a purpose, to be holy and blameless in His sight. Paul's going to go on in chapter 2 of Ephesians to say that we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship, that we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, when God saves us, He's got a whole plan for our salvation. He's got a whole purpose for us. We're just looking at some of the gifts in Ephesians chapter 1. The gifts are we can't even count them all, what we get in Jesus. But I want us to get this one. There are things that God has prepared in advance for us to do, and we can only know them and do them when we're in Christ. How many of you like to put together jigsaw puzzles? Okay, 3 of you. I do not enjoy putting together jigsaw puzzles. I don't know why. I mean, Paula and Jonathan and her mama, they love to have a jigsaw puzzle out at Christmas and work on it. It drives me crazy. I just don't enjoy it at all. But for those 3 of you who like to put jigsaw puzzles together, maybe you'll get this illustration. I do know this, that even though I don't like putting jigsaw puzzles together, it is much easier to put the jigsaw puzzle together when what? When I have a picture of what it's supposed to look like at the end. Okay. God is choosing us as He's fitting the pieces of our life together in this puzzle that He's already got planned out. And the picture that He's making us to be like is Jesus. See, Jesus is the only one who on His own is holy and blameless. There's nobody else who's ever lived in the history of the world, who's ever walked the face of this earth, who was perfect and who was sinless. And His name was Jesus, and He is our Lord, and He is the image into which God is creating us. We are in Christ. And because He is holy and blameless, when I am in Him and when you are in Him, God sees you as holy and blameless. So, we're not just saved from something, we're saved for something. We're chosen in Christ to be holy, set apart for a purpose. But we are also chosen in Christ to be blameless and set apart from sin. For a purpose, from sin. See, God has not chosen you to blame you. And this is, again, something that lots and lots of folks in this room and watching and in our world need to hear. Because God's gotten a bum rap. He didn't choose you to blame you. He is not looking around waiting for you to mess up. See, that would not be choosing you to be holy and blameless in His sight if He were. He's not looking around waiting for you to slip up, waiting for you to do or to say or to think that thing so that He can turn against you and blame you. No, God chose you to be blameless and set apart from sin. And we all have things that we should be blamed for. We all have things that get blamed on us and that make us ashamed. And every one of us feel that deep down. And we deal with that in all kinds of ways. Many of them much less healthy than others. To deal with this shame and this blame. And it brings all kinds of junk to our lives and all kinds of chaos to our marriages and our families and our businesses. While all along, we can be found blameless in Jesus Christ. And so we praise God who has made a way for us to deal with the blame and the shame. Because here's how it works. Here's what Scripture teaches us. When we uncover, when we expose our blame and our shame, when we let God's light shine in on that, when we repent of it, when we confess of it. There's lots of different ways it's talked about in the Bible, but the idea is that we expose it, we open it up, we confess it, we bring it into the light. When we will do that, God is faithful and just, John wrote, to cleanse us. And he does it through the blood of Jesus Christ. The way that we are blameless and holy in his sight is that we are in Christ. And what happens to us in Christ is that we, it's good old Bible language, good old church language, we get washed in the blood. And the blood cleanses us. And again, I don't fully understand it, but I believe it with all my heart. And I've staked my life on it, and I preach it, that the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to wash you clean, to cover your sins, so that when God looks down on you, he sees Jesus. That's my hope. That's salvation. And every week we stop and we remember that, because it's that important. Every week we stop, we take some bread, we remember that Jesus broke his body for us. Every week we stop and we drink a cup and we remember that Jesus shed his blood for us. And we're going to do that right now. We're going to take that bread and that cup. We're going to give thanks to God that he's chosen you. I want to ask you not to open that up yet. Last week it created just this ripple rain stick sound that washed through the... So just hold on just a second. We're going to give thanks to God that he's chosen us. Let that be a part of your communion meditation this morning. You've been chosen. You've been chosen with enthusiasm. God made the first move to choose you to be on his team. He did it in Jesus. And because you responded to him, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ, because you died to yourself and you were raised to new life in Jesus, you're clean. It's a miracle. It's unbelievable. You're clean in the eyes of God. You are holy in the eyes of the holy God. You are blameless in the sight of the blameless God. And so I'm going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for that. We're going to sing a song. And during that song, as you respond to God, just take a moment to give personal thanks as you take the cup, as you eat the bread. Let's pray and then we'll sing and then you take your communion. Father, I'm overwhelmed by this message. I'm overwhelmed again by this message as I preach it. This is good news. I wish that everyone in the world could hear this and believe this. I am thankful that the people in this room and so many of the people who are watching have heard it and have believed it, because it's true. And so we, at this moment, it's not just some routine thing we do, Lord. This is a moment when we truly just bow before you and say thank you for what you have done for us in Christ. Because in Christ we are richly blessed. And so we say thank you for the bread, which reminds us of his body broken. And we say thank you for the cup, which reminds us of his blood shed. We sing, we pray, we worship, we take in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great gift that the Lord Jesus has given us. Amen. We are indeed in Christ, richly, richly blessed. And if you're still trying to deal with your own shame and with your own blame in all the wrong ways, then I want to offer you another way. And his name is Jesus. And it's been God's plan since before the creation of the world that everyone he has ever created would be chosen and would be in Christ. And so if there's anyone who has not repented of their sins, who hasn't uncovered their shame and their blame, who hasn't confessed their faith in Jesus, today'd be a great day to do that. We've had several baptisms during this time of social distancing, and we could do that for you today. In fact, last Thursday night, Jeremy and Jenny had the opportunity to baptize a student at Mustangs for Christ, Nikki Picano. She received this incredible gift. She was chosen in Jesus Christ. She's been at the Student Center for a couple of years, and it's been around all these great students who love the Lord and who live life for the Lord, and she's caught that, and she studied with Jenny recently and understood what Jesus has done for her, and her response was, I believe in that, and I want to be baptized into Jesus. And so we celebrate, and we give thanks to God. Just like Paul wrote, we can say this morning, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed Nikki in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose her in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Those last three words, in his sight. See, being chosen does something to the way that you see. Being chosen makes a difference in how you see. And first of all, being chosen makes a difference in how you see yourself. It makes a difference in how we see ourselves. Because we are chosen in Christ, we are holy and blameless in God's sight. That's how God sees us. And God wants us to see ourselves the way he sees us. So I said earlier, he's not looking down for all the things you're doing wrong. He's not waiting for you to mess up. God is looking at you in Christ. He knows all your faults. He knows all the things that you need to be blamed for. He knows all the things that cause you shame. They're not a surprise to him. He doesn't just overlook them. He has taken care of them in Christ. And now he sees you as holy and righteous and blameless. And I think we'd follow him better if we saw ourselves that way. Again, not naive about our sin, not taking it for granted, not dismissing it, but dealing with it in the way that Jesus has prepared a way for us to deal with it, through repentance and confession and being reminded that we're chosen, being reminded of how God sees us. I think we'd be more attractive to the folks around us. I think we'd be more excited about sharing this message if we could really deep in our hearts see ourselves as chosen. And the second thing that it does, it changes the way we see, is being chosen makes a difference in how we see others and how we see each other. So much of Jesus' message was summed up in loving other people. And when we're chosen and when we get that and when we get how God sees us, it changes the way that we see other people. And we see their mistakes and we see their faults and we see their sins, but we can deal with that differently because we know that God has chosen them too and he wants them to be in Christ. And there's a way. And it makes a difference in how we see each other. Because still, as we live together as the family of God, we get on each other's nerves and we do things to each other that are wrong and that offend each other and we make mistakes with each other. But instead of dealing with that the way the world deals with that, we get to deal with that with God the way God deals with that, because we see each other differently. Because we're chosen. We're in Christ together. We've opened up a wonderful, wonderful gift this morning. The gift of being chosen, the blessing of being chosen. And for every one of you who are in Christ, I pray that you would experience that gift this week. That it will impact the way you live, the way you see, to know that you're chosen. And for any of you who are not in Christ, he's ready to receive you. And you could make today the day that you would begin to unwrap these gifts. If you're engaged with us online and God is drawing you near this morning, he's offering you this gift. He's inviting you to accept this gift. I hope you'll make contact with me. Me and so many other people here are ready to help you discover the God who in Christ chooses you to be holy and blameless in his sight. And I hope you'll all join us next week as we open another gift, because truly in Christ, we are richly blessed.